Okay, there's one more Nakuda. Just from the previous sugya, then we'll try to move on to our next sugya for tonight. So we've been spending a lot of time in the last two full shiurim talking about this din of Navrat. It's not over to the Hosea Messiah. The person has this flower pot with some wheat and barley in it, and he's walking past the vineyard, and he drays around a little bit, and it starts to grow, and it grows more than 200, so we have a problem on our hands. So what's the nature of that problem? So Rashi started the ball rolling by telling us that it becomes mitzvah as kiriyah kara, and then it can potentially become bottle. If it's a very, very small amount that grows, then it's a bottle in the row hat there. Once it reaches over the point of 200, then it's no longer subject to bittul. Again, not fundamentally different from the regular din of bittul masayim as appears in the dinim of kilei ker. We had a lot of issues with this Rashi, a lot of different questions, but if this is really a correct application of the principle of bittul for a variety of reasons, which led us to believe there has to be some other pshat yusha, maybe some other beer in this din, almost to steer us away from the whole parasha of bittul. So the Ramban in Bava Basra, we'll look at it inside, was that Ramban that we spoke about maybe 2 weeks ago. The Ramban suggests that maybe the whole parasha of bittul here really doesn't make any sense. This is circular. Kerem hetta behetta. This is not subject to the rules of bittul. You know why you need Masai? You know why Masai is important? Because that's the din. What does it mean, that's the din? A brisket term. That's the din. The Gemara already told us that when you have a pre-existing growth, you have a vineyard, you have a flower pot, and now you're trying to combine them together, so it doesn't become kilei kerem right away. It's ruah meikaro dash rasha. It's a ruba hoisif in lo hoisif loy. The Gemara learns out from the pasuk Hamaleah, which called zera zeruah hazera l'sizor tamu chakilayim petik dash hamaleah hazera shetizra osuasakara. On the one hand, the Torah speaks about tizra. On the other hand, the Torah speaks about malaya, which means they set this. The Gemara says that we have a tradition that if something was ready as a ruah, if everything was ready planted, and now you're combining them together, it has to be moist, it has to be malay. So it's up to Ramban, what's the shear of Safa? At what point do you say it's malay? At what point do you say it grew? 200. 1 or 200. That's considered to be a growth. Anything smaller than that is negligible. Not negligible because of the din of bittul. So the Ramban, this has nothing to do with the din of bittul. This is head to head. Bittul doesn't apply here. It's a shear of what's considered to be a tesefes. Less than a tesefes of 200 is not chalon and the shein kilei kerem altogether. So it comes out that according to Rashi and the Ramban, conceptually something's happening very, very different. According to Rashi, the kilei kerem is chal right away. The smallest amount of growth is already chalon and the shein kilei kerem. It's just that if it's so small, we'll say bittul barov, bittul shishi, bittul masayim, we'll invoke the din review of bittul. According to Ramban, you don't have a problem at all. It's not chalon. Mishim tesef until it reaches 200. Not enough gemin. At the end of the day, everybody agrees. More than 200 is also less than 200 is what? What's the difference? So it could be, it's a big difference. This sheer bittul of Masayim, the regular din we've been talking about, the sheer bittul of Masayim, Tosfos shows you in Masechta's need, there's only a din with the Rabbanim. We're not Torah, there's no such thing as sheer Masayim. You know what the sheer bittul is? Bittul Barayim. That's the real din of bittul. Masayim is made up by the Rabbanim for a variety of reasons. Not for now. Moving on to details right now. According to Rashi, min ha-Torah, what's the shear of Tosefes? At what point does this kilei kerem become osur? Not a Masayim. It only becomes osur in the Torah when you hit rov. If you grow so much that you have more isur than you have of heter, then it's no longer bottle. If it is Tosheveinu, Holzman hasn't reached the point of rov isur, it's still mutter min ha-Torah. Now, midrabon gets osur because midrabon they instituted a shear of the Masayim. But with the Raisa, it doesn't become no longer bittul until it reaches Rav. According to Ramban, bittul, Rav, it's not doing bittul. According to Ramban, it's a new shiur. It's a shiur in halacha, it's a new kachnam halacha, that the shiur of Masayim is the keveya as to what's called the hosofa. Bittul doesn't apply here because it's hefta behetta. The red rules a bittul fall by the wayside. The shiur of Masayim is the mamash shiur de Raisa. So it comes out that according to Rashi, the entire sugi, the entire insistence on the magic number 1 to 100 is only midirabana. According to Ramban, it's mamash de midirabana. So again, that was just a little bit of the shishrayim of the last sugi. So now I want to start.
So it's almost a coincidence then when Chazal picked 200 and bittul corresponds.
Right, so one could say coincidence, and maybe one could say that almost in the back of the mind, it's almost like in the Raisa.
So then when Chazal worked out that that's a kaiveya for the bittul, then they should have made. You would have expected them to make reference to this.
Right, that's right. Right, it's nice they don't. Right, there is no such. Right, right. The Sifrei quotes this din of bittul b'masayim. He was another mocher. The whole story. Right, right. You know, according to Rabban, it would have been really neat, you know, to have the two din connected. Which, you know. Okay, so about to begin this sugya on Daf Chavim and Aleph. The first one lines is Zaruah. Amar Yaakov, the end of the line, it's about 2/3 of the way down. Amar Yaakov, Amar Yechonin. Bakol misrapin, chutz me'atzei asheira. A person could use anything that's aser, presumably all isuri achila, all isuri hanah, for the purposes of medicine, with the exception being atzei asheira. If you have wood from an asheira tree, wood that was used for avodah zarah, so you cannot use that even for medicinal purposes. That was the statement of Rabbi Yechonin. Very, very vague statement. Of course, what's most vague about it is we just don't know how sick this patient is. We know there are different degrees of illness in halacha. That's the most first question. What's the case? If this pikuach nefesh is danger to a person's life, so we all know pikuach nefesh does everything. So then, presumably, even using the wood from the asheira tree should be permissible. If there's no sakona, so then there would be no justification to violate any Yisurim Deraisa. So we can't make any sense of Rabbi Yechonin's statement. Why the split between Atzei Asheira versus other things? The Marashach, if we're dealing with Pekuch Nefesh, everything should be Mutar. If it's not Pekuch Nefesh, everything should be Elser. Question. Reality is that we're dealing with Sakona. And still Atzei Asheira are out of the question. How do you know that? Why is that such a? Why is that a yetzin akal? The sign you learned in a brayso. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, im nema b'chol nafshcha, lama nema b'chol miyadecha, im nema b'chol miyadecha, lama nema b'chol nafshcha. Pasim kriyishma. Why the sinning redundancy? So Ella Leimelucha to teach us im yesh adam shegufo chavah lav memono, lekach nema b'chol nafshcha, yesh adam shevamanecha lemigufo lekach nema b'chol miyadecha. The punchline of the pasuk is to tell me that a person has to love the Rebbeinu Shlalom with that which is most chaviv to him. So if you personally like your nefesh more, so then you should love the Rebbeinu Shlalom with your nefesh. If you personally like your mamon more for some reasons, then you should love the Rebbeinu Shlalom with all of your mamon. So at kan, the sugya for our purposes, it's because of this derasha of the laws of undaf b'chol nafshecha that explains everything. How does this explain anything? So the answer is that obviously the Gemara is referring to what it says in the Sechus and Hedrin. If this is the makor that avodah zarah is one of those mitzvahs which are your heart ve'al ya'avod. The starting point of all mitzvahs is v'chai b'hem. That's the starting point. That pikuach nefesh is deichik kol teira kula. Unless we know to the contrary, v'chai b'hem lo she'yamos b'hem teaches us that you're allowed to violate any yisurim to save your life. Now comes the Torah and starts to put the brakes on that. So one of the brakes on that is shrichas damim. You're not allowed to kill somebody if you want to save your life. Hopefully we're going to get to that soon. Then Gemara has another drasha to tell me that giving raya's to the Yerba Yavo. We'll get to that drasha also a little bit later. And the drasha that teaches us that Avodah Zarah is also from the Yerba Yavos is learned after this passage, B'chol Nafshecha. How did Rabbi Elazar see in B'chol Nafshecha as referring specifically to Avodah Zarah? We didn't say Avodah Zarah there. So Mistoma, or Rabbi Elazar's kavanah, the kavanah of this drasha was, is that we have to pick one mitzvah that's an absolute contradiction to Avos Hashem. You can't get more of a steer with Avos Hashem than Avodah Zarah. But that's Kavanah Satar B'chol Nafshecha. That's the Pashas and Dvarim and Rav Elazar, the Kach Nema Halacha, that Avodah Zarah is from the Gimel Averis, it's Shehar V'Yavah. So comes the Gemara and says that since Avodah Zarah is one of the exceptions to the rule, it's not covered by the Chai B'hem, so now a person has a serious Shaila. He's deathly ill, and the only way to heal himself is to use the Atzei Asheira. He can't do it. That's the Pasha Sadvarim in this Gemara. I didn't say the Gemara is Pasha, I just said that's the Pasha Sadvarim in this Gemara. So that the fish is wait. This is a far cry from the din that we're familiar with in Avodah Zarah from the Harva Yavah. You know, the imagery of Avodah Zarah, Harva Yavah, we start to think of stories in the days of Hanukkah, the days of the Romans, the Crusades, those are the issues that we think of. Somebody's coming with a gun to your head and saying, I'm going to decide, I'll accept this God. And the person says, no, I refuse to Kiddush Hashem. That's B'chol Nafshecha, that instant. Here, who's worshiping anything? No one believes anything. I need some wood. The doctor prescribed wood. It says in the prescription, we've got a piece of wood. I can't find any wood anywhere, so go get a bit of Zara wood.
What a mirror are you over when you What other view is? Isn't it?
Yeah, it's enough.
Oh. And if you do them to get enough. What a
I'm watching Machlokes Tosafot in the Ram taking place in front of my very eyes.
You have to say it must be
a sin. A shira tree is itself a Rozar.
Well, whatever, I mean, if there's an Isser of Hana.
So one thing is clear. One thing is clear from this discussion is that the Gemara is not so clear. It means there's something clearly missing in the logic of the Gemara. How did the Gemara jump from the Chol Nafshecha, which teaches me about the Zoras, the Yavor, to the Amos Rav Me'atzei Shira? So comes Tosis and she addresses this question. The bottom Tosis, Chutz Me'atzei Shira. Nira Luri, bottom Tosis, the Ma'iri Kigun She'ein Yochel Lisrapi Mishar Eitzim El Bazeh. Says Tosis, it doesn't say in the prescription, get yourself a piece of wood. No. If it says a piece of wood, says Tosis, and for whatever reason I can't find regular wood, so I go in and I take up a Zohar wood, big deal, says Tosis. What's the big deal? Now, let's tone that down. What do you mean, what's the big deal? Isn't that necessary right to be nene for another Zohar? What do you see from Tosis?
No.
Well, I don't know if I'd say no. I would say, of course there's a necessary right to be nene for another Zohar, but that's not what?
Nice.
That's not your Herba Yavor. That doesn't trump Chaybahem. The Chaybahem is the starting point in Kol Terakula. Now you have to chisel away the Chaybahem. So Urias chisels away, and Shukhazam chisels away, and worship the idols chips away. Worshiping idols chips away at the Chaybahem. The Mafi Yisr being Nenet of idols. He never said it to this, sir. Well, somebody's away from Beisachal, he goes to Rechaim. One of the Mokhor in the Chumash for being Nenet from idols is, I'm not worshiping the idol. The Tosafot starts out by saying that can't be the case. You can't take the Gemara from Pshuta. There's got to be something else going on here. So what is going on here? So near the read again. The Marikon she'ein yochel lisrapi mishar eitzim. It's not that I could get another wood and have to using this wood. Elabaz said, I have to use this wood. Why do I have to use this wood? Kigon ayudei shedim u'shum dover acher. There's some spiritual potion over here. It says, it's the medicine man. It's not the regular, it's the specialist who prescribing and saying, I insist the only way for you to get healed is to get this very special idol wood, and I don't know what you're supposed to do with it exactly, and that's going to heal you. And the guy's dying. And his last resort, so he decides, you know what, I'm going to go through what this Shuvim said, I'm going to go and do it, nothing to lose. And what does Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yechin say? That's exactly what you're not allowed to do. That's what the Gemara says, B'chol Mishrat and Chutz Me'atzei Shira. If you're cold and you have to make a fire, the doctor says, if you don't heat up the room, you're going to die. If I can't find regular wood, I'm going to say, a share wood, no big deal. Het ha-gomer. That's because nefesh is the chol terakula. But hochem in my eskinon, I'm not allowed to use it to chi ha-gam. So I ask your Rabbi Sai, and what is so terrible about this? What's the problem with Tosef Shat, Rabbi Sai? So I go ahead and I use the piece of wood that Beinenu I don't believe has any power anyway. Nebuch, we know Nebuch, some of those people are desperate, they'll go for any wild cures. So a person goes and he uses this crazy wood. So what? So what biggest thing did he do? Did he bow down to the wood? Did he believe in the wood? What devilism did he do? What was so wrong?
They'll say,
oh,
look at this.
Oh, so I would say exactly what Dr. Fisher said, but I would add, I would change a word. If it works, I won't say they will say.
He will say.
He'll be, we know that. I'm sure many years of practice in medicine you must have encountered this. People sometimes do strange things, and every once in a while, it works. So all of a sudden, what happens? That's many claims in other forms of medicine. But it worked for this guy. It must be that it's true, even though it was purely, completely coincidental. So comes Tyson and says that Mishum da Osi Lamite Basar Avedizara. Because by doing this, he's going to end up, maybe, not for sure, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't work, and if it works, he'll end up worshipping Avedizara. He'll end up believing in Avedizara. No, who's got a problem with this thesis?
It's still just a
he still didn't do what?
It was no
he didn't bow down to Avedizara yet. And he didn't do anything wrong yet. I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thing what he's doing. I'm not saying it's mutter what he's doing. If it wouldn't be Bruch Nefesh, I wouldn't let him go buy this, you know, medicine man. But at the end of the day, he didn't worship Avod Azar. So he didn't violate the Issa, quote unquote, of Avod Azar. So whatever Issa he did, he set himself up to potentially violate Avod Azar. You know, the whole Chagadja, 15,000 steps along the way. Why is that Yerba Yam? So.
Well, why is it so Pasha? He's buying this wood because he's ascribing to it supernatural powers. That's what the doctor told him to.
But Taisa doesn't even say that. Taisa says Nishum the Osilamiti Basavidizar. He's buying it because he's desperate. Maybe it'll work. He's not he didn't sign up yet for the temple. But if it works, that'll become a member of that religion. So it's Osilamiti Basavidizar.
Right.
I still want to know, push goes to show. Where's the Asavidizar right now? So what do you see from Taisa? What do you say from Taisa? Tremendous Chishuv Taisus. This is a life and death Taisus. Taisus just told us that the din of Yehud Bel Yavar is not only on not worshipping of Avodah Zarah itself, but on what?
Avodah
Zarah. Well, so that's a tough word.
Anything that might lead you to worship.
Something that may result, may, it's a big may, something that may result in worshiping Avodah Zarah, it also is called Yehud Bel Yavar. A full red added in a long Aramaic word to explain that, but we got a little while to go. But that's the Sikhness Taisus. So you see two conditions. Taisus did not take the Gemara Kipshuto that it's talking about just using wood because it's cold in the house and the doctor is going to die because it doesn't heat up the house. Taisus said, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense.
Why?
That's Mamashem of the Zohar. So Taisus said, it has to be Mamashem of the Zohar. And then Taisus gave you an example, which is also not really of the Zohar. But what does Taisus' example have over what we thought the Pshat in the Gemara is? At least it may lead you to the guy who heats up the house is never going to worship the idol. He's just going to get warm. But the person who does them, the medicine man, well, he may become an Avodah Zarah. So Taisus is a chiddush that Taisus didn't learn the Gemara Kipshuto because they felt that was too difficult because he's not worshiping Avodah Zarah. They gave you a case where he's also not worshiping Avodah Zarah, but somehow that sufficed to Taisus because that at least has the potential to lead to the Avodah Zarah. So you have to read it between the lines, see all the shachpatah that's going on in this sentence. Okay. So Rabbi say, we know what prompted Taisus. We see what bothered Taisus conceptually. When you read a Taisus like this, you have to scratch your head. You have to ask yourself, you know, textually, there's just something missing in the Gemara. I mean, you read the Gemara, the Kalmus Rab and Chutzminatzi Asherah, the first thing that comes to mind is some medicine man who's prescribing a wood. What did you think the Kalmus Rab and Chutzminatzi Asherah meant? It's cold in the house. You need wood for some medicine or something. It's nothing supernatural. It's very natural. This is Western medicine. Everything makes a lot of sense. It happens to be that it's not the Asherah. That's what I thought Shana Gemara was. What we appreciate was bothering Tosis conceptually because L'chay, that's not a Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, textually, something almost missing according to Tosis. So the Ran is sensitive to this. So now we think we'll have Chayim and Beis and Daphne and Riff, beginning of the second paragraph. We think it was the fifth line from the bottom of the room. Chayim and Beis and Daphne and Riff. So first, the Ryan quotes Tosfos. Then he tries to show you Ryan back and forth. And finally he says, it's five lines from the bottom, it's towards the end of the line. First one was the hedges, towards the end of the line, Shema Bina. After quoting Yerushalmi, he says, Shema Bina de Taima, Lav Nishum de Osalem Shuchi Basra. The reason for this din has nothing to do with what Taisa said. Ela Mishum, Shu Oiver, Alav de Lo Yidba, Piyad Chama Uma Menacherem. He says, no, the Gemara is exactly what it meant, Kipshutai. That he's in violation of the law of La Yidbuk. What is Isser is derived from that pasuk La Yidbuk? That's one of the Bekaris that you're not allowed to be Nen Emi Avodah Zarah. Now the truth is, that pasuk happens to be talking about Yoni Dachas. Just for the record. But the Gemara in Pesachim in the third part says that just as you're not allowed to be Nen from the Nifsa Yoni Dachas, why is that? Why can't you be Nen from Yoni Dachas? Because what do we treat Yoni Dachas as? One big giant Avodah Zarah. So too, we derive from here that any man of any of it is also awesome. So l'yidbuk b'yadcha is just a code phrase for the iser b'nenim and avidizah. So now that the Ran just committed himself to saying that's the pshat in the Gemara, so now he's bought obviously the same kash that bought the Tosfos. The af agav the leisei ella lav the avidah zarah, even though it's not really avidah zarah, I'm not worshiping the avidah zarah. It takes on the same status as worshipping idols. He says, when we say that Avodah Zarah is Yehud Bel Yavar, all the Isurim of Avodah Zarah are also the Chalai Harvei Yabba, not just the worshipping of the idol. So now Rabbi said we have a fundamental Machlokes Taisa Iran in place. What exactly did Rabbi Yechiel mean, and what exactly are the parameters of Yehar Vel Yavar? Because Yehar Vel Yavar limited to the act of Avodah Zarah proper, so there's what Taisa says is almost extended, even though you literally didn't do it, but you may come to do it, but still focusing on the act itself. Unlike the Rambam says, no, as long as it's Chalav and Hashem, this or in the parashat in Avodah Zarah, thus is also Yehar Vel Yavar. Where did this Machlokes start from? What's the source of this Machlokes? So the Ran is going to explain, but we're going to put the Ran on hold for a minute. We're going to take a look at the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin. So we'll bring Sanhedrin. A very startling Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin. The end of the 8th Parak. Gemara just told us that one of the dinim which Yehar Vel Yavar is Gili Arayis, a whole complicated drush, we'll get to that, but Gili Arayis is also Yehar Vel Yavar. And the top of Ayin Hamad Aleph, where it tells us a wild story. Ayin Hamad Aleph, Sefer Malkin, Amar Avida Berav. Ma'i Seba Adam Echad, Shinosan Einav B'Isha Achas. Once there was a man, who was a sorcerer and woman, Hela Libo Tina, and he got himself Mamar sick over it. Rashi says, Nimok Merav Avin, the Tamtim Liboy, the Hela Choyli. Again, I'm not a cardiologist, I'm not a doctor, I can't tell you, but it doesn't sound too healthy. So he got Mamish physically sick to the point where Bo Vishol Lerofim, they went and asked the doctors, Vamru, Ein Le Takona Achetibo. The doctor said that unless he's going to be with this woman, he's going to die. That was the diagnosis. So the Shaila went back from the doctors back to the Chachamim. Amru Chachamim, Yomus the Altivala. So the Psak was, let him die. She cannot violate the Issa. I'm not sure what that Issa was yet. They cannot violate this prohibition. The guy's gonna die. Tough. So the Gemara says they went back to the doctors and they said, well, Tamod the fun of Aruma, where it was said that he doesn't have to mabish Pumizan with her. She'll just stand in front of him not dressed, and that'll somehow be enough for him to calm him down. Yomos fell tamal fun of Aruma. So the psak was, even that's not acceptable. Then they suggested a third thing. So she won't even be undressed. They'll talk about the mechitza. They'll talk behind the fence. Yomos fell tisapri ma mechir yageder. The psak was, boom, that's also Yehar Vel Yavar. That's the end of the story. So now the Gemara quotes Machlokes Amaroi, what's the pshat in the story? What's the beer in the story? Pligibur of Yaakov or Ivi of Rabbi Shmuel ben Echanani. Chad Omer Eishas Ish Haisa. One version of the story was she was an Eishas Ish, which at least takes a little bit of the sting out of the story. So then, basically, what the story is talking about is a potential Gilirias. So then, we can begin to understand. I mean, obviously, the first diagnosis we can definitely understand. When the doctors at first said, Ein Tegonach Tiboel, so they were basically saying, well, let's violate the sinuf to save a guy's life. And the psak was, no, you can't do that. So even though we don't quite understand the watered-down violation of watered-down diagnosis, we'll get to that in a moment, but at least we can begin to understand where the story is coming from. The Chad Oma Pruya Haisa was another version of the story. That she was a single girl. She wasn't even married. She was away. Bishmol Molamandi Omeshus Ish Haisa. If you're of the opinion that she was an Ashes Ish, Shakir. Then the whole story makes sense. The whole story makes sense. El Mandira Pnuya Haisa. My Kulihai. If she was a Pnuya, she was a single, what was that big deal? What was so terrible? So the Gemara gives different reasons what was so terrible. Rav Papa Amar Mishu Pagam Mishpacha. Rav Papa said it's going to be such a bizarre to the family to do such a thing. Rav Acha Bered Rav Higa Amar Kadesh Vayu Benoist Israel Prutos Be'arayas. Because it's going to lead to a terrible Piritza down the line. So what are these two answers saying? They're basically saying, it wasn't really true. The Iker Adin is, Lu Yitzuyev, the version of the story was correct, that she was talking not an Eshish, she was talking Pnuya. So, and they really, the Iker Adin should have let him be together with her, Alt Pekuach Nefesh, but they didn't. For these variety of reasons, Gavalt, how can you make the guy die? Shalom Kedin, what's the answer? We just mentioned it. Yes, it was a Rasha. Yeshkoch Mechon Lakot of the Torah, a Rasha. If it was an emergency, they felt, what a terrible period this is going to be if we're going to let this happen. And then the Gemara goes on and asks, well, why didn't they just get married? The Gemara explains why that wasn't an answer. Why wasn't that? But okay, we'll leave out the Shidduchim part of the story. Fine. So, let's just chazit for a second with the Shachar time. So we had, the original Shiloh was Tibalon, then it moved down to Tabla of Ruba, then it moved down to Sapach Yeder. The Gemara is presenting the story according to both versions. One, Amayra had the tradition that the story was she was an Eshes Ish, and one, the other version was she was a Penuyah. So the Gemara said, if she was an Eshes Ish, everything's hunky-dory. This is thought, the whole story makes perfect sense. What does the Gemara mean in that statement? It makes perfect sense. According to the version she was an Eshes Ish, there is no need to introduce these other factors of Pagan Mishpacha, we don't need those are extra halakha, extra legal considerations. The only reason why we have to come up to those other factors is to explain the story according to the other version. The version is a bit of an issue, it's an issue, then the story makes perfect sense. Stop, I don't understand this. Forget about the extra legal considerations. Wouldn't the man yom issue? How does the story make any sense? I understand the first part of the story, I don't understand the second or third part.
It's the same as the
round. Okay. So, how did the Gemara make that statement? I don't think it's shakir. I think it's terrible. It still makes no sense. Why are they so machmir? Why didn't they let them at Tavla from Avaruma, Tavla Chara? What was so terrible? So, what do you see from this Gemara? There's no question you see something from this Gemara. What do you see from this Gemara? One thing is clear, screaming at us from this line of the Gemara. Bishlam Lamandimesh is always shakir. When we talk about an Aveira being Yorga Yavar, we are not only talking about the quote unquote Gufa Aveira. There are other parts. Okay, Phil, here's your key. The word Abizrayo, the dust, the Shirayim, the leftovers of the Aveira. There's more to the Aveira that meets the eye. Other lower forms of this Aveira may also be included in Yorga Yavar. So who jumps on this Gemara? Who gets excited about this Gemara? The Ran. So now we go back to the Ran, after the Ran, where we left off. In the Ran, I'm going to try to prove to you my theory that merely using, merely benefiting from wood of Asherah is your Harba Yavar, even though this has nothing to do with worshipping idols, no one believes in idols, there's nothing supernatural here. Just the fact that Nichol and the Israel of Edizar that makes it your Harba Yavar. So comes the Ran and says, let's go back to that round at the bottom of the Himalayas. It's three lines on the bottom. The end of the line, V'hochi muchach b'soyperk ben tzera meire. V'yam minan hasam, we say over there, Amai said, V'yad amecha shos, E'na de isha achas, V'yad li latina, Amar rofa, V'yad l'takona, Atch l'gol, Amar rofa, let's give a little bit. Okay? So he says, the top line of Abba Meralef, Ubevadai shedvorim elu einam giliarayis mamish. Short of the first diagnosis, the first description for mamish rabia, everything else was not giliarayis mamish. What was it? El sheiva behem alav lo sikavu legalas erva shulav begiliarayis. Says the Ran, it was a lav. It was a lav lo sikavu legalas erva. Ran, a big deal. It was a lav in the Torah. I see you spent a lot of time learning that this so I don't want to, like, you know, ruin it for you on Shabbos and it was coming up. The Sikhim Ulagalas Erva, the Pasuk of Pashat Achrei Mois, where the Ran here, like many other Rishonim, interpreted this Pasuk to mean that there's an Issa B'Arayas, that there's two things which lead up with Gili Arayas. So apparently the Ran understood that those other two lower levels of Yisur that were mentioned in the Gemara, both the case of Tavlofan of Aruma, and apparently the Ran understood the Sapim Achrei Agedim, that's the Pashas of the Ran. We'll talk about that a little bit later, maybe next week, whether that's 100% accurate or not. But the Ran seemed to understand that the first suggestion, that was the Arayis Mamish. The second and the third suggestion, that was the Sikh Vilagala Serva. And in one fell swoop, Chazal said, Bishlam Lamandam Eshazish Shavim. So Zokhti Ran said, now you see from this Gemara, from the Shakta, the Gemara, that a lot, as long as it's called a lot of Gili Arayis, is also your Gili Avar.
Why is this? The Tosfos fits beautifully in as well.
Well, we get this. Tosfos didn't quote that Gemara, so we have to put into Tosfos how they don't think about it. Let's do the Ran for a second. So according to the Ran, what's the equation? I have my board back here. What's my equation? So it's, didn't these have it from the LSATs? They have those, what are they called? This is to this, then.
The logic.
This is to this, and that's to that. So let's see if we can write this one out here. Okay? So, Binanda from Avodah Zarah is to worshiping idols, right? As is, Losikru Isurim is to Gili Arayis Mamish. That's pretty much what the Ran's equation is. And This is part of the parsha. So it's called Yehoshua Yavo. Thus is part of that parsha. It's called Yehoshua Yavo. So of course, who's left out in the dark now? Tysus. Because Tysus refused to say that. Remember, Tysus was screaming and saying, what? If the prescription is for regular wood, this is not Yehoshua Yavo. Tysus had to bend up backwards, a medicine man, a witchcraft, a hachamayas, kidas, shibbos, tyra. You can end up worshiping that. Tysus, dafka, refused to go down the route of the Ran. Why not? Why did Tysus refuse to go down the route of the Ran? Because the chayr of Tysus held that there is no such thing called when you're in a category of Yisr and therefore it's Yehoshua Yavo. There's no such thing. So how does Tysus read that Gemara?
Tysus has another Yisr. If it will lead to it,
Right on target. Tysus and the Ran both agree that there are watered down Isurim that are included in the parasha of Yehoshua Yavo. The machloikis Tysus and the Ran is how to be marked it down, how to be marked it watered down, how to be marked it, this quote unquote Abu Israel. How do you define the Shirayim of an Isur? So the Ran understood in a very lumpish way. If it's in the parasha, if it's Chalon, it's an Isifin of an Isur. It's different than Gilead Raya, even though it's not the real McCoy. In the parasha, it's called that a chalshem. In the parasha, Gilead Raya, chalshem, this of his own, that's enough. And Taisa says, Yehoshua Yavo, we don't kill people based on some briska, hagdara, that's part of the parasha. According to Taisa, Taisa looked at the Matthias at Dvarim. If what you're doing will result in the real Isser being violated, thus is Yehoshua Yavo. Tysus, again, we don't know this chat that Tysus said this, we're guessing, I think we're guessing correctly on this one. Tysus took one look at the Gemara of the Azara and says, the Gemara of the Azara is not saying that Los Sikavu is Yehoshua Yavor because it's called the Isser of Gilarais. That's not why. There's something about Los Sikavu that makes it susceptible to being Yehoshua Yavor. It's a type of an Isser that may very well lead you down the line to the Isser itself. The reason why Los Sikavu is Yehoshua Yavor is not because Los Sikavu proper. It's Yehoshua Yavo because of the nature of the Yisr is legal sabbath, the legal of the Gilead Raya's. So Tysus also had their equation on the board. The Sikavu is to Gilead Raya's what not burning wood for the Nashera tree and stuff. It is a wrong equation, said Tysus. Burning wood to a Nashera tree is never the legal of the Gilead Raya's. What's the equation going to Tysus? The Sikavu is to Gilead Raya's as going to the medicine man is to worshiping of the Gilead Raya's. Because A may lead to B, C may lead to D. So we have a fundamental machlokes. Everybody agrees that the dimmim of Yehoshua Yavo go way beyond the issue itself. That's fishing was the 99. You can't argue with that. That's one more on the Gemara. Bishmul man the Yom Eishes Israel. Stop shopping. That's not negotiable. What the Yisrael HaDomer is, Tosis in Pesachim is going one route, and the Ran is going another. Hopefully it's Shem next year. So we're trying to figure out what ultimately is behind this machlokes of Tosis. Now, one of those novins of 10th
Speaking
Yeah, oh man, we have a lot to go with that.
Speaking of, you just have showroom, which is like, it's